Pastor Jay here. We have Jeremy and Seamus on this podcast today.
Tristan is still lost to the winds.
Tristan is still living his best life somewhere else.
Somewhere else.
Hashtag blessings. So today, we're going to be covering the news of the week, and we're going to go into the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 25th anniversary special in Comic Land, right?
It was so special, we had to give it its own episode.
We did.
Special, in quotes.
We did. And at the time of this, when you'll be listening to this, okay, we will be somewhere out in San Diego Comic-Con land, and by we, I mean two of us.
I ain't going anywhere.
Not you. The two of us.
I have nowhere to go.
And Seamus, are you typing something? Is that what I'm hearing?
Seamus? Oh, no, sorry. I thought I muted my mic.
No. Because I keep hearing a thumping.
Oh, no, sorry. I was trying to adjust my mic. Then I'm like, I'll just mute it.
Gotcha.
Then I'll adjust it. Sorry, okay. My bad.
No problem. All right. And there'll be two of us going to San Diego Comic-Con. So at the time when you're listening to this, we will be there some longer than others. So yes, the news will be happening after and during this when you are hearing this. So the next episode, we will have even more news after San Diego Comic-Con, and we'll talk about it. All right? So we just have some news to delve into, speaking of San Diego Comic-Con. These exclusives, y'all.
Are they too exclusive?
Let me tell y'all something about these exclusives. So, it was the Neo Saban Power Rangers folks. They had their video on YouTube showing the green Psycho Ranger figure that, of course, appears in the comics because there are no green Psycho whatever's in the in space or whatever. And then we find out, I think it was from Bandai America, they were like on the Twitters like answering people's questions. I'm just like, wait, hold up, you answering people's like, you guys live, you guys are alive now.
Aren't they like notorious for never answering questions?
Pretty mm-hmm. much, I guess, when they're like, you know what, we on our last go round on this ride, we just gonna deuces, we're just gonna ask all the questions. And so apparently they spilled the beans a little too sooner, because the green Psycho Ranger figure is going to be an exclusive at Boom Studios' booth at San Diego Comic-Con. And if people are not familiar, Boom has been releasing an announcement each day up until San Diego, and that was going to be one of their announcements.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense. It's the comic book character. It's annoying for those of us that are trying to send folks to get exclusives when it's like, oh, you have to go to two places now. Okay. Or three, possibly. Hey.
So let's just recap of where all the exclusives for Power Rangers are going to be. Okay,
yes.
So we've got we just talked about the Green Psycho Ranger being at Boom. Okay, uh-huh. You have the Silver Psycho Ranger being at Entertainment Earth's booth.
Oh yes, okay? And just remember, people, that you can pre-order it on Entertainment Earth's website, but it's one of those things where they're like, you'll only get it if we have leftovers after the convention, and then mm-hmm. we're filling them, you know, first come, first served. So mm-hmm. if you haven't put one in by now, you better put it in.
Oh,
like
no, it's
this
sold out.
Second.
Yeah, it's sold out already.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
Yeah, you can't at the time of this recording, especially at the time of this recording.
Yes.
No, you can't.
So you can't get it now, and even those of us that put orders in still might not get them either. So you don't know. That's the tricky one.
So there's that. I'm just going to double check to make sure that I have that right, because I might be mixing up two figures. So can you describe where all these other exclusives are going to be?
The third exclusive is the Gold Ranger Zeomorpher, which is the one that's actually at Bandai. for a nice hefty $120 price tag.
Oof.
That's a lot.
Technically did not appear in Zio proper.
Yes, that's what people are mentioning, the fact that like Jason never actually had a Morpher as the Gold Ranger. Technically the Morpher is real because it's from the Old Ranger. The little kid actually uses it.
So it's basically just an O-Ranger toy.
Yes.
Then is it going to have sound effects of Jason in? Because they promote it as Power Ranger Zeo? It's hilarious. It's hilarious.
He didn't use it. I always wondered about that. But yeah, so I don't know if you have, people have plans for which ones they want to get or which ones they want to hit up first. I don't know, but it's pricey. So if you actually go and get all three, like, you're spending over $200.
All right, so. Correction. You can still, at the time of this recording, pre-order mm-hmm. the Power Rangers in Space Psycho Silver Ranger.
That being said, I mean, the chances of you actually getting one if you pre-order now, I feel, would be pretty slim. But you never know. Yeah, they could legitimately just be making a lot more than they need because they know that demand is out there to sell them afterwards. Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to be at San Diego, I would put a pre-order in just in case if you want one.
Right.
No matter when you hear this.
You can't lose, except for, like, not getting it. But, hey, if you get one, great. If you don't, well, you weren't going to get one anyway because you're not going.
Right.
So, yes, what other exclusives will be appearing at Witch Boots?
I think they're just the three, right? Is there more?
No, there's a pop. More.
The pop is actually – okay. So yeah, they're
Wait, the pop isn't an I don't think the pop is an exclusive at San Diego.
No,
the,
it's an Entertainment Earth exclusive, but it's not a San Diego comic.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, so they're releasing more pops.
But before we get on to the pops, the other exclusives are the SH Figure Arts Jason and Tommy. Plus the Megazord, I'm not going to say its Japanese name right now, that is in black and green. Those are going to be at the Tamashii booth.
Oh, the Daijujin?
The who?
Is that the Megazord, the Jew Ranger Megazord? Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Daijujin.
What you said. So those are going to be at the Tamashii Nation / Bluefin / whatever insert other Japanese name here booth. Those exclusives are going to be there. So guys, if you I don't know you guys, because there's a lot of people at San Diego and a lot of people will go to all them booths and get all them exclusives, y'all. Is this the most exclusives that has been dumped on San
it is
Diego?
Yeah, because the exclusives, I mean, for the longest time it was just Bandai stuff.
Yes.
And then Pops got in on it, and now we're doing the I forgot about those other ones because I don't
isn't
care
it, wait a minute, isn't there like an Alpha Pop that's gonna be at the Bait booth or something? It's a Bait exclusive. Hold on,
they've already released an Alpha Pop. Is it like another like
I think
color
it's another
variant?
Version or something, maybe.
Is it black and gold?
I don't remember.
Lame.
Because the original Alpha Pop was a Walmart exclusive.
Oh, right. Bait Alpha. I'm gonna look at this up right now.
I mean the Tommy and Jason are fine if you don't already own them, but like I didn't even think about them. And the whole like let's repaint a Megazord any color other than its regular color. I've never understood the appeal of that at all.
Unless it was in the show.
Right. Unless it's like in Lightspeed. They repainted it for the finale. Fine. That's an actual thing. But personally, yeah.
Black and gold, y'all. Black and gold.
You can already get the ice cream. Why do you need the pop?
So yes, it's a black and gold alpha, y'all. That is a Bait BAIT exclusive. That is also, it's going to be limited to 5,000 pieces. Ooh, I wonder.
I don't want to tell anybody how to live their life, but on the list of priorities, that would be the bottom.
If you could pre-order that on Entertainment Earth, you would probably get it.
Yeah, 5,000 is actually a lot for a black and gold of a non-main character. Like, I can't see that. I could be wrong. I could definitely be wrong, but I can't see many people jumping on that one.
So there are...
I love you, Alpha.
Four booths. four booths with exclusives. Four.
Actually, I'll say it this way. Everybody go to that one. Don't even bother Bandai. No one wants a Morpher. Who wants a Morpher? Get that black and gold alpha. You need that, son. Go to Bates
booth right now, y'all.
Go there first, and then just wait for me to run to all the other booths.
Right?
And that's it. So, yeah. All right.
So, Bandai, we know you're listening to this because you comment back to people now. So, we just need you to set aside a couple Morphers. For your friends and no pink spandex.
Yeah,
you know.
I'd appreciate the Morphers and Boom. Hook, you know, I love you, Boom. We talking to your boys. We need some psychos too.
Listen, Bandai. Since you're making all of these, right? Just set aside one of each.
Yeah, just like a nice little care package for each of us individually. With at least, you know, at least the two psychos and the Morpher. You know, that's all I need. If you want to throw more stuff in, you could too. But
you know what? I'll take Jeremy's. So I'll take what Jeremy don't want. Anyway, just one of each for each one of us. That'd be great. Set it aside. Be great. Be wonderful, because
heck, that weirdly colored Daijujin sounds a lot better if it has a price tag of free.
Just do it.
It's kind
of. I had the wild thing of actually being sent an SDCC exclusive in the mail for Voltron. They sent me their Hyperphase Voltron. I think it's an Entertainment Earth exclusive. It's the exact same Voltron, but with blue paint and some wings on it. Literally the exact same thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw your picture. I'm like, what's the difference? Oh, wings. Ah, wings.
But and some slightly different weapons.
I mean, their DreamWorks. Who makes Voltron's toys?
Playmates.
Playmates. So Playmates, they know what's up. Bandai, jump on that train. Just
send people things.
We again, our email is on our website. It's on our socials. You can just email nopinkspandex, okay? nopinkspandex@gmail.com, and you can just let us know. Just, you know, set aside. You know what I'm saying? It's all good.
We will provide shipping addresses for you.
Exactly. So enough of that. All right. We were talking about pops earlier, and one of the pops that we mentioned was the Mighty Morphin Megazord. Is the glow in the dark, y'all, as an exclusive for Entertainment Earth, not at any particular convention. I mean, God help me. I mean, it might be down the line. Shoot.
Right.
No, don't worry. It's a glow in the dark. So we'll have a black and gold glow in the dark at a convention.
Of course. Like, you know, no confirmation here, but I'm just letting y'all know that's probably going to happen. Yeah. But not only that though. Okay. Then a nerdy dad on the Instagrams, got pictures of other pops that are coming soon. I don't know how soon. We don't know how much.
I think they said fall. Yeah.
Yeah, it is the Helmetless Original Six.
Nice.
Rita.
Nice.
Goldar.
Looks a little derpy, but nice.
He looks like a cute Goldar. Kind of like him. And Lord Zedd.
Yes. Yeah. Cute Zedd. Love me some cute Zedd.
Great.
We actually did hear that these were coming a long time ago, and supposedly there actually are other ones that are exclusives. Like, I believe I saw Pudgy Pig as an exclusive that's going to be somewhere, probably like a Hot Topic or an FYE.
Okay.
But they're not like listed here, or maybe they got canceled. I don't know.
Poor Zordon. No love.
Right. You gave me an Alpha. You can give me a Zordon. That seems fair.
Or Zordon.
But yeah, so they look adorable, and people really wanted these, especially because the whole, like, originally they released red, pink, and white, and they were just the standing there kind, and then they re-released new ones, but they were all posed, but then you had the standing there of the other four, so they didn't really match. So now you can have a full set that matches again. Very nice.
Yeah.
Because most people don't have those original three that were released.
So we need a PMC exclusive Zach Pop with his Africa necklace. literally every convention in the country just have a different Zach outfit as the exclusive Pop.
I thought you were going to say Zach with the gold shield.
I mean, that'd be great too.
I mean, no, why be logical, Jeremy? Just
both.
you know.
Zach in his oyster stew giant coat or whatever the hell. No, Tommy had the coat. Zach had whatever he was wearing.
Yeah. But you know what bothers me about these pops is that they have this medallion in the middle. And it's like, it's not accurate. It's not accurate.
There are so many Power Rangers, like, figures, especially from the 90s and here now, too, where it's like the giant, like, remember what was up with the Tommy figures always having that, like, wasn't even his coin design. It was like some weird dragon head.
They probably had it in the style guide that they sent out to all like the people who licensed it. And they were just like, oh yeah, we're going to put the coins on there because that's better for branding.
Right? It's the only coin you put on a chest is White Ranger Tommy. That's it.
It's just not accurate. So like really out of these six Rangers, Tommy's accurate.
Right?
Receding hairline and all. Tommy's.
Oh my god, it's so bad.
Oh, I just know. Oh boy.
Like, what? They jacked up his hair. They really, like, early.
They did him dirty, man.
Like, early Tommy, he did not have. Like, come on. His hairline was fine.
This isn't Dino Thunder. Like, come on.
Yeah, he was still a 20-something teenager back then.
Come on, you guys. Like, y'all did him dirty.
And we also now have a nice Rita figure that doesn't look like crap.
I know.
You, Samurai toy line.
Mm-hmm. I know. The Rita's so cute. Like, the villains are so cute. They're so adorable. Like, I like the pops that are not, like, the Zord pops are my favorite because they're not, like, blank faces with big old eyes on them.
Yeah, those creep me out.
Right. So, like, those are always going to be my favorite type of pops, and those are the ones that I do get.
Zed's mouth.
But the villains are my next favorite.
Yeah, I need a Scorpina pop in my life.
Oh, that's yes.
That would be the best. That'd be the most adorable thing ever.
So cute. Love it. So I'm definitely getting all the villains. That's happening.
Yeah, I'm going to buy them all. I know I will. I just know it.
I know, and they're helmetless, so like, they like actually have faces, so I care.
I mean, I bought the movie pops, so I'll buy anything.
I like the pops that aren't just like I'm a face with some big eyes, and then the rest of me. I like Billy's because he had the glasses, you know. I like Zach because he has the flat top.
So good.
I was actually looking at the pops at FYE yesterday, and I know this is a reference nobody will get, but they actually had a pop of the Major League Baseball pitcher Max Scherzer. And he has heterochromia, so that figure actually has one giant black eye and one giant blue eye.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
It's adorable. Okay.
Yeah, I like the ones that are just like, all right, like, how are we going to make this pop look different than just like, hey, we put, you know, blank face with big eyes on him, and then the rest of the body.
Like, Kimberly has a little hairband. It's nice.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I tend to, like, people always buy pops from, like, every franchise they like, and I try to keep it to ones that are actually unique or tend to favor the sort of cartoony style. Like, I buy the Steven Universe ones because they're all so different and unique. Mm-hmm. Well, here, you know, I mean, these are cute and all, but they're still all a bunch of white faces with black eyes.
Now, I would have to see the back of Tommy, like, if they, you know, like, how that ponytail look, you know. But
shouldn't it be, I want mullet Tommy. Give me mullet Tommy.
You stupid.
Come on, it's Green Ranger. He deserves mullet Tommy. Save the ponytail for White.
Yeah, true.
You know,
true,
so they're different.
True.
Yeah, like from the very first Green with Evil appearance.
Right?
True, very true.
Give that sweet green mesh tank top.
Can you imagine? Like, is that going to be the next wave?
They're never going to leave MMP. They just never. Like, they can be civilian Tommy. It can be, like, they're just going to milk this to the, I mean, glow in the dark, chrome, the
black and
translucent,
gold.
Translucent, rather. Black, and, like, they... It will be, they're never leaving MMPR. Mm. They can milk this forever.
If they're really daring, they'll have season 2 characters.
I was going to say, like, the next line needs to be season 2 and White Ranger, right?
I think they would do that. They would go into White Ranger and the Stone Canyon peeps.
A Catherine thrown in there, too.
Cat is like as like a convention exclusive.
Oh yeah, true.
Yeah, you can
do it. Yeah, a cat.
That's a full release line right there.
You know,
and some extra villains.
And then like release Billy without the glasses. Oh.
Oh.
There you go.
With giant
season two. Full season two. Three. Whatever it is.
That's
whatever,
like the least amount of variation added you could possibly do for another figure. This one doesn't have glasses.
Muscle shirts. There we go.
Like, seriously, how were those Rangers allowed to walk around that school wearing tank tops that basically showed 90% of their skin? Like, you would not be allowed to do that. You have California. To put some clothes on.
California. That's how they roll.
Uh-huh.
Also, they'll definitely release a Billy with gold for, like, that one statue from that one episode.
Oh, Blue Ranger Gone Bad. You know that's going convention. To be exclusive. Convention.
Yeah, that would be some jank exclusive from some, like, hole-in-the-wall store. Right there. Nobody wants that one.
Or next Power Morphicon exclusive. Oh!
Oh, boy. Gold statue Billy.
Goodness gracious. Yeah.
Why
yeah,
do I remember so, that?
You know what? All these toys, Bandai and Funko, they just taking all our money. Just taking all our money.
Well, and did you see Bandai's answering questions about stuff showing up in Australia now that's still not here? More stuff showing up in Australia.
Right, because... They said, see, that's why they spilling the tea, y'all. Mm-hmm. They said that the Australian retailers put in their orders earlier than the U.S. So it's coming. I'm like, okay. So,
well, because we saw the picture of, because we've already had like the individual Zord releases for the T-Rex and the Sabertooth Tiger, which
yes.
I think look like junk, but that's a personal opinion. Mm-hmm. And now the Mastodon showed up in Australia too. And if you look at the back of the box, there's pictures for the Automorphin yellow and blue,
yeah.
So not sure what Zach's doing. Not sure about that. Zach, come on.
Watch, he won't get released. Just
the
watch.
The one that gets skipped. Aw, poor Zach.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Interesting. But,
yeah, because we still don't have the psychos up here, right? The red and blue.
We do not have the red psycho, the blue psycho, and Trent.
Oh.
Trent's also been released down there, and I actually looked at Trent, and he's kind of missing some stuff.
Oh no!
Some paint, some paints. Like he doesn't have like the little black slashes on his boots. Nowhere to be found.
Oh, Bandai!
The Bandai's cutting corners in its dying days.
Well, I mean, they had to pay someone to answer questions on Twitter. You think they can? They don't have money to put extra stripes.
You either get paint or answers on social media. You pick one.
Can't have it all, kids.
So supposedly some of these last few legacy figures will eventually get here? Question mark? Running out of time?
Really?
Granted, a lot of these ones that are already out are still on the shelves. Gathering dust. So I understand why our orders are less.
But we kind of want something a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Because we're waiting for the stuff that we actually want, maybe.
Like Bandai. Just show up to PMC with like a truckload of every single figure that
for
we
real?
Just talked about.
Just mm-hmm. you know how? Look, listen. And they just went to PMC and just showed up with all the toys, right? You make your money there. Just you will make all of your money.
Just
so what is the deal?
Just put a sign that says the truck is out back. Someone will be there to take your cash. And you just pick whatever you want. Make deals. Come on now.
I don't know why it has to be so hard for you to give us what we want, but...
Too busy putting 25th anniversary stickers on boxes to actually release good stuff?
Oh, gosh. Because all those pops now are going to have 25th anniversary.
Yep. Giant stickers everywhere.
Oh, gosh. Well,
just look at the Megazord. Too. The Megazord has a 25th anniversary sticker, an Entertainment Earth sticker, and a glow-in-the-dark sticker.
Oh, my gosh.
All them stickers, folks!
Oh, my gosh. By the time, like, you put enough stickers on there, you're just covering up what's in the box. Mm-hmm. Come on. So, yeah. Couldn't you make the 25th anniversary sticker a little smaller? Just, I mean, why'd it have to be, like, the size of your hand? Like, come on, y'all. Let's get it together. So, anything else in the toy realm before I move on? Because we got some other news.
I think that is about it, toy-wise,
cover. Okay. So, we talked about Power Morphicon a little bit. One of the news that broke over July 4th. It was actual July 4th. Mm-hmm. That Austin St. John, will be appearing at Power Morphicon. this year. But wait, he will be appearing. What day would you think, if he could only do one day, what day do you think that he could do?
Well, I mean, the convention is only Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you don't go Sunday, because that's
the dead last day.
Yeah, that's the dead day. Everybody's had their fun, and they're just looking for deals for people that are leaving. So, I mean, Saturday's usually the big day. Some people do Friday. Some people might do Friday, but Saturday's usually the big day. So it's clearly going to be one of those two, correct?
You would be incorrect, sir. He will be appearing. No, not Sunday, not Friday, nor Saturday. He's going to be appearing at Pyromorphicon on Thursday.
That's not one of the options.
That's what a lot of people on Twitter were saying.
So here's the thing now. Like, a lot of people were asking, wait a minute, I thought the convention was only Friday through Saturday. Wait a minute, he has his appearance at Michigan Comic Con the same weekend. Is he not going to that anymore? Wait a minute. How are you going to have events on a day that the Pyromorphicon isn't? What's going on? Okay. Some things I'm going to, like, break it down for y'all. Okay. Number one. Pyromorphicon usually had events Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday used to be for particular badge members. I forgot what level, because they do Red Ranger group. Well, I don't know, whatever. But if you bought a 3-day pass, whatever that was, whatever level that was, then you can go Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then there's another level where you can go just Saturday and Sunday, that sort of thing. Okay? So really, less people would go to the Friday one because there was an option to just go Saturday and Sunday. Okay. There were then, as we, throughout the years, they added events on Thursday for, like, your VIP members. Now, at one point it was gold, and then they have a silver, and then they have a platinum. They have so many different levels now. Mm-hmm. But they also had events on or an event, at least an event, or a thing to do on Thursday, okay? So, to be fair, they have always had something, regardless whether if it was just for one particular set of badge holders, they always had a little something on Thursday, okay? So then we get the news that Austin St. John is appearing on Thursday. He broke the news on his socials way before they made the announcement. So then Pyromorphicon made the announcement, and that they're going to be, at the time of this recording, the details have not been figured out just yet. Maybe by the time you hear this, then there are actual details. And so, it's kind of hard to record episodes for a future time. We trying to bank episodes, y'all. So at the time of this recording, there aren't details about his Thursday appearance, but people had questions. Hey, I'm coming in on Thursday, and I am such and such a member of this level. And that's the other thing too, is that in previous years, the like Friday events or Thursday events, were leveled or tiered so that only certain people can attend these things. So Pyromorphicon said that Austin St. John's appearance, all badge holders, no matter what level, size, shape, color, whatever, can go and get autographs and whatever and blah, 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 blah. Okay? So they put that also in their announcement. So most people are flying Thursday if they're flying in. Right. Mm-hmm. There are some people that, make a vacation out of it. So they fly in Wednesday and, they want to make sure that they get their little whatever. But a lot of people are flying in. They're thinking, oh, let me give myself a day before to chill.
Right. Get
situated before the actual festivities start. Because even on Friday, the con floor doesn't open until maybe 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, something like that. So even then, they're like, okay, I have enough time to ease in and that sort of thing. So I can understand people's I can understand people's frustration if you made a plan to fly in midday on Thursday and you're like, wait a minute, what if you start signing like 10 o'clock? I'm going to miss, you know what I'm saying? I can understand that. I don't have that problem because I always fly in way early. I don't have that problem. Y'all don't have that problem. And one of us lives in the vicinity. So, you know, so like this is not something that affects us personally, but I get it. I understand. However, I understand that Austin has to fulfill his obligation to some other convention, whatever. That's, even though I'm just saying, you can, homeboy, you can, you know, do Thursday, Friday and fly out there and do Saturday, Sunday, because you know you're going to make most of your money on Saturday anyway, so whatever. Just anyway, but he's wanting to fulfill his obligation. So he coming in on Thursday, okay? And Jason D. Frank is going to be there Saturday. Now, you know, there are times when both of those people have been in the same place at the same time. We're not saying that this is not the first time, but this is the first time at a Power Morphicon event, okay? Particularly about Power Rangers. And the other times, which was New York Comic Con, they were in the same building, but that's like being like, oh, yeah, I was in the same White House as some other dude. Like, it's, I mean, just because you're in the same building don't mean that y'all meet up, y'all do nothing, have any events together, whatever. So, this right here, I'm just like, oh, snap, he's gonna be, oh.
Yeah, two ships passing in the night.
It's Thursday. Damn it.
Hey, I looked up Michigan Comic Con, and I had to see all of the amazing things that would be there.
Oh.
As the person from Michigan.
Yes.
And the very first person on the guest list is a big fan, is a big person for you, Seamus.
Oh!
It's your boy and mine, John Rhys-Davies.
Oh!
First person on the list, and we need to get rid of this Lord of the Rings picture because
Professor Arturo.
That is the main role right there, Professor Arturo. Everybody loves that. Okay. But there's some decent guests, you know. They got the Ray Park. Everybody likes some Ray Park. The
got you.
The girl who played in Deadpool.
Marina, what's her face from Firefly?
Brianna Hildebrand.
Oh another yeah, one. That girl. Girl, okay.
Yeah, Negasonic Teenage Warhead. That's her name. Leah Thompson, there's a poll.
Okay. Okay.
Isn't her name Michelle Nichols?
Yes.
Michelle Nichols, yeah.
Michelle Nichols.
Oh, it's Nisha. Okay, because I thought that was a typo. I didn't. Okay. Carrie... I did. I'd never heard of Nichelle before. That's a name.
Okay. Well, we black, so we creative. Let's go.
Oh, changing from M to N isn't that creative.
Oh. It tripped you up down, didn't it? Okay, let's go.
Well, yes. It did trip me up is correct. Yes. Ooh, Carrie Elwes. Princess Bride. Okay. What else we got? Oh, we got voices. We got Charles Martinet. Everybody likes him. He's a weirdo.
Okay.
That's Mario.
Gotcha.
Oh, the voice of Princess Jasmine, the voice of Belle.
Okay.
Billy West. So it's got some people. You know, it's decent.
Any Power Rangers?
There's just the Austin St. John.
Oh.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Okay. There it is. You know. Interesting.
So again, you know, Austin has said on his socials that he signed this contract well in advance, and it was like a 3-convention deal or something. So it was this and 2 other cons that he signed on to do, and he signed on before he knew the dates of Power Morphicon. Yada yada yada. Listen, my dude, listen. Every other year. You know what time it is. You know what time it is.
Morphin' Bad?
So you know that if it's going to be an even year, that it's going to be a Power Morphicon. So just keep your August open.
You would think.
Keep your August open.
Also, by the way, whoever designed this website really enjoys color.
They really do.
It's very bright and eye-burning.
They like a postcard. They love a postcard.
They do. They like the postcard theme. Oh, it's like Kobo. Okay. I like Kobo. Good place.
So, yeah. So, just keep your... So, okay, fine. You get one mistake. You got this. You got that one mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to let you pass. Okay. So Thursday, you're going to be there Thursday. But, you know, y'all two ships in the night. That ain't going to help me.
Mm-mm.
That don't going to help us. This is all we want. All we ever wanted. Okay. We just want the Mighty Morphin crew to get up on a panel, do a panel together. One. And two, we all want a photo op. That's all we want.
Yeah.
Literally, you could have a convention. Just that. Like, literally, they don't have to do anything else. I mean, of course, sign autographs, duh. But all they have to do, have one panel. They have photo ops for days. Okay? And mm-hmm. they sign autographs. And that's it. That's all they have to do.
All this does is just continue to fuel the rumors and innuendo about these two not being able to act like adults together.
And what people have told me, because I haven't been paying attention too much, but people have told me, it's like, oh, they've both said that there ain't no beef. And well, I'm like, okay, cool. That's great. You know, they appeared at the movie premiere together. I'm like, oh, okay. Yes, I saw it with my own eyes. We were there. And we saw. That's fine. So, just do it.
Yeah. Talk, unlike autograph and photo op prices, is cheap.
So, and I will mention that Amy Jo Johnson went to a, I don't know if it was a convention or a festival, but whatever event it was, they had a 20-year reunion of Felicity. And they got together the cast of Felicity. Yes, including the Kerry Russell, y'all. Including Kerry Russell, y'all. They got together all those people. Okay? And she was there. And they had a panel. So. And they had a photo shoot together. Now, I don't know if they had a photo shoot with, like, other fans or whatever, but they did a photo shoot. So. It's possible. It's possible. Because homegirl has been to one reunion. So I am just saying that maybe you need to roll that into power. I mean, into Power Rangers and get this reunion. Like, one of y'all's already dead. We got to wait for another one to die for y'all to do it?
It should not be this hard to get five people in the same room together. It should not.
Like, come on, Entertainment Weekly or somebody who has, like, real pull. Like, come on.
Yes, Entertainment Weekly just did a really nice article about Breaking Bad, getting the cast together. That was fun. I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. Now I'd like to see that with other things I like. Power Rangers being one.
Exactly. Number one.
Yes.
That'd be great. That'd be wonderful. And you know what? If you don't want Entertainment Weekly to do it, No Pink Spenders will gladly, gladly get y'all all together.
You could do an MMPR reunion, and then when we were done with that, we could do the more interesting Zeo reunion.
You're stupid. But that's the thing, y'all. We can do the MMPR reunion, right? The OGs. Then you do season two. Oh,
very easy to do.
They're all here.
Yep.
They're all here.
And okay? Then to go from season two to Zeo, you just need to just say, Nakia, come over here. Come over here.
Exactly. And we're done.
Oh, and Catherine.
Okay. It's gonna be, well, Catherine's part of the Z, right? It's season two, like, you
season
know,
three.
Like, so season three, yes. That's, yes, it is true.
It's all
it
very
true.
Complicated.
It's very complicated. They all kind of meld together. It's kind of confusing.
But very few changes need to be made to go from one to the other.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes, seamlessly. So, you know, like, again, we will gladly host, I will gladly host any reunion that has to do with the OGs getting together. Moving right along to another, I guess you can call it a reunion of sorts. So we had a prop store.
Oh.
That is literally what they're called, prop store.
Mm-hmm.
They announced on behalf of Lionsgate that they are proud to present the Power Rangers movie auction. Exclusive auction of props, costumes, and more used in connection with the production of Power Rangers the movie. And so at the time of this recording, you only have a little bit time to register to get these items. Now, I'm going to list the items that are on there, and then we're going to actually go into what many articles have popped up reporting as the real story, the quote-unquote.
And these are what's currently available. Some other things could pop up after this recording. Yes. You never know.
Yeah, that's right. So, you have Jason Scott's failed prank escape costume.
Just the name.
Prank escape costume. Okay.
Yep. Yep, so if you want plaid shirt and jeans and Nike shoes and some rope and a vest, you could do that.
Oh, rope.
All right.
Does it come with... Oh, I see the rope. Oh.
Yeah.
That's so sinister.
So then you have Billy Cranston's blue power coin. So that's also up for grabs.
That'd be nice.
You have Rita Repulsa's stunt corrupted green power suit.
Is the staff included? Oh my gosh.
The staff has to be included or else they wouldn't put it in there.
I just want the staff.
I just want the staff too. I literally just want the staff. But like, do you get the, the claws too? You get the claws. Dude, oh my gosh. This is like the one thing I would actually like.
Lisa be cosplaying.
Girl, I ain't size of Elizabeth Banks' child back. I'll be wearing the boots, though. I'll be like, yep, where you get those new boots from? You know, whatevs. That's a movie costume.
From, you know, the prop store.
Mm-hmm. You ever heard of it? So then they have, of course, the pink, red, black, and blue suits also up there. And then you have the power sword from the movie that's up there. That's mm-hmm. That's another thing that I'm like, oh.
Maybe yeah, I'd be okay with that. I'd take that.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's it for now. That's up there.
Could be more. Could be more later.
So now when this announcement was like, oh, look, auction or whatever, blah, 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 blah. So then the people... First, the fans were just like, oh, I guess so there's no sequel, right? And then all the articles were just like, oh, this auction's up, so then that means there's no sequel.
Oh, my God.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's an assumption.
All the articles are reporting on that. I'm just like, you guys, listen, let me just break it down for y'all. Or does someone else want to take over breaking it down?
Oh, I mean, I emailed my editor at Den & Geek about this, and I said, is this anything? He's like, no. He says this happens with movies all the time because normally, especially with superhero movies, they'll change the suit in the next movie and they just auction this off to make some money and to get rid of it and probably to make space for other things. It's again, it goes into the hands of collectors or museums or whatever else. So, look, again, the chances of a sequel to the movie are still fairly slim. Let's not lie to ourselves. But just because these things are going on, so it's been, well, I guess they gave up. Like, no, chill out. It's like, you think they don't have more than one copy of all these things?
That's my point.
So you think they only got one?
You think that an action movie in particular, now regular movies, of course they have, copies, but especially an action movie where there are stunts. And then there are the regular actors who have to be in these costumes too. So you just think that they just make one and we're like, yep, that's it. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. They have multiple copies. Multiple. They make multiples because like these things get banged up, tore up, this, that, and the third. Like who I saw on the socials? The guy, one of the people that worked on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, was putting up some behind-the-scenes stuff of the prop
so
shop.
Many helmets,
and,
right?
And literally, like, I remember one of the pictures, like, a picture long time ago where, like, there's a dude and a chick, and they're sitting amongst, like, 10 copies of each suit, right? Boots and helmets and... Uh-huh. Y'all really think like, oh yeah, they just made like one of these.
Yeah,
you
know? Even if the Come suits on. Still look nice, there's wear and tear. They're not going to use them from movie to movie. Like, it's such a rare thing that stuff like that like last long. I mean, it'll still look fine and presentable enough to sell it, but like obviously they're not going to be like, oh, we're going to keep these suits in storage for 2 or 3 years and reuse the exact same suits for the next movie. It's not going to happen. Plus, yeah, you want to redesign them so you can sell more toys too.
people's bodies change. Like, just things change. Like, you think, like, all right. Mm-hmm. All right, so, like, we don't want to make this again. So, like, you just got to lose a lot of pounds, Elizabeth Banks. Like, what? Like, you can maybe tell that to one of them little folks. But, like, you ain't going to tell, like, some big, like, yeah, so, we got that suit, right? And we holding this for, like, 5 years. And so, like, we doing this for again. So, like, can you just, like, I know you gained a little weight. Can you just, like, lose the weight again? That'd be great.
I mean, like, Jason's outfit, they're just upmarking something you could just buy at any store, honestly. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just look at the Marvel movies. I mean, Captain America and Thor and Iron Man, they look different in every single movie. Some movies, it's a slight alteration, but they are brand new suits in every single movie because they're releasing brand new toys with different designs every single time. Like, that's just how it goes.
That's how it goes. So all these places that wrote articles about, well, there might not be a sequel, or they just flat out said, oh, ain't going to be no sequel. This is not the indication. No. Maybe the indication is like, hey, like Hasbro bought them and they want to like start fresh and new and start creating their own crap. Yeah. Yeah. That's more of an indication than an auction.
Right.
Come on. Get out of here, y'all. Like, I can't with these people.
That being said, I still want to buy something, but I think it will be too expensive.
It'll be thousands.
Yeah.
At least for every single item.
Yeah, if you can give me a Billy coin for $50, I'll do it. But other than that, probably not going to be buying much.
Man. Just spend $2 on your Morpher, on your movie Morpher.
Yeah, I can get that Morpher on clearance at Walmart because you didn't use it in the movie.
The power sword looks awesome and Rita's thing looks awesome. So everybody else just bid on everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You want everything else, but
there are like those like big collectors who have so much money and they will just drop like thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars on this crap.
Mm-hmm. I just want to get that Rita staff so I can go rob a jewelry store.
That'd be great. That'd be fabulous. Moving right along to comics, we left the 25th anniversary special for its own show. Yes. Right? Right? Because, you know, it's special.
Is it?
Unique?
It's weird because I think it has one of the best stories that have been done in the PR comics, but then it also has ones that I thought were pretty subpar or like just kind of meh.
Yeah, they weren't really creative and they didn't really add anything to the lore, I would say.
Except for that one story. That one story was good.
Yeah. This first, because like
I
the
mean,
first
spoiler
one,
alert, that one story was written by Trey Moore.
Yeah, Trey Moore's killing it. Are all the other writers like busy on Shattered Grid? Like, is that what's up? Like,
I would imagine so. I don't know. Because
usually these annuals are, I mean, except for the first one where Higgins wrote one, but like they usually are used to give the regulars a break. Yeah.
I mean, because look, if I didn't know better, I would think that the first story was like a tribute to the old MMPR comics because it feels just like that.
Totally.
From what I remember from like just comics in general, specials aren't usually written by the regular people. Like it's very rare that they are, because they are in a grind of doing their regular comics. So these things are just, you know, additional material. They usually don't have a lot of play in the main universe. Stuff like having Higgins write a little story is the exception, not the rule.
Okay.
But yeah, like you said, the first story is very much a old school MMPR comic story, which is not a flattering thing to say if anybody out there has read the original MMPR comic.
Like, there's really dumb things in it, like Kimberly like doing her pose for no reason.
I've said this before. I don't know why they do this. I've seen it in a few of these comics over time where they just like it's one of those things that really makes it feel like it was not done by somebody who ever really had any sort of care for the source material. And, you know, it's another thing like we mentioned with the DC comic, too, where it's like, why is White Ranger Tommy fighting Rita Putties? Not a thing that actually happens. And it might not feel like a big deal, but it's a weird thing where it's like you don't know the material at all. You don't. Because you wouldn't be having Rita be attacking White Ranger Tommy. It's not a thing.
But isn't that then up to either the editors or
yes.
the or Saban's folks to say, like, oh, actually, in if it's White Ranger, these are the types of putties that would show up.
Yes. If it's White Ranger, it has to be Rita. And you have to at least mention Zed or use Zed instead or use Green Ranger, like something so it matches up. And that's the other thing is, like, if you have that and then you have Rangers teleporting in like little punchy poses and then Kimberly doing her little, I don't know, sweep the leg crane thing. Like, it looks like it was very slapshot done by somebody who's never watched Power Rangers.
She's the Y of the YMCA.
Yeah, it's bad. It looks really bad. And I know I've seen this artist before. I think they've done Spider-Man stuff.
And I think they've done stuff for Mighty Morphin before, question mark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, it's not like some horrible, awful story, but it's just there. It just exists.
It's so inconsequential. And yeah. Like, if this was the only story that felt like this, and the issue would have been like, oh, I guess that was a throwback. Okay, but like the second story is kind of like that too.
Yeah, and the art is very uninspiring. Like, Tommy jumps in. Like, look at the picture of him with Sabo. Like, Sabo looks like it's 9 feet long. And he's barely even holding it. It's weird. It's just very bland.
So the story, right? It's called Pet Project, where Rita wants to use Scorpina's pet to go down there, and you know, I think Scorpina had like the last remnants of what was used from the Green Candle to, you know, take away the Green Ranger's powers or some sort, and so they use that remnant of that, turn Scorpina's little wormy little pet into a dog, and then put the dog under, like, have the dog have a collar that was using that little pendant that could take away or alter the Green Ranger with his powers, and send that down to Angel Grove, because hey y'all, the Angel Grove Youth Center is having an adopt-a-thon. Adopt a pet. Everybody loves pets. Dogs are everywhere. Everywhere you can find a dog. And so they, of course, it's not so easy for this Rita/Scorpina dog to go down there and to be captivated by Tommy, and then Tommy turns evil or whatever they want him to do. No, of course not. Bulk and Skull have to intervene and take the pet for themselves. And that's the story.
Well, and it's, and again, like,
the misadventures.
It's one of those things where it feels like they have, like, you know, tertiary knowledge of the series because, oh, remember Scorpina had a pet silkworm? That's an actual thing from the show. But then the idea of you're going to use the Green Candle remnants to take away White Ranger Tommy's powers, even though when he first showed up, Zordon made a big speech about how you can't take away his powers or turn him evil again. Because of his super awesome White Ranger power, which admittedly were never really explained super well. They just were created out of nowhere. But still, it's like, it doesn't really make any sense at all from a Power Rangers perspective. And again, we're using the wrong putties, and this is during the time period where he had his power. Like, it doesn't really fit at all into continuity, so It's what it is. It's just a quick story. It was, I did like, the end was very cute with her getting the dog back because she wants her little silkworm. But other than that, there's really nothing to speak of here.
Of course. You know, and of course, Bulk and Skull were just like, I don't want to give you back. Because Scorpina, you know, that evening, she disguises herself as an old woman looking for her doggy. And of course, her doggy is Bulk and Skull doggy, and Bulk was just like, "I want to give you back to my dog. Get back mm-hmm. time." And Tommy's like, "Listen, come on. She clearly that's her dog. Give it back." And then Bulk starts to tear.
Aw.
A little tear for his doggy.
Aw, so, poor Bulk.
Again, like those last panels, great, right? Like cute, fine, but overall, if you didn't read this story,
you missed nothing.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
Nothing spectacular.
And that's the thing, is the comics are at such a high level right now that we're very discerning when it comes to them. So this ain't nothing.
But hey, next story, right? Because you're thinking, okay, look, I read that. That was a little appetizer. Appetizer wasn't as fulfilling as you thought it would be. But hey, you're saving room for the next story. So the next story, I believe this is, what is it? Golden Ideas? I'm guessing because, you know, because the titling on the pages of the comic is a little out of order. So this one's Golden Ideas, right? And they take... It takes place when Aisha and Rocky and Adam are part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, all right, I'm going to get myself some Aisha. Awesome. Okay. And their thing is, like, Aisha and Adam feel like they don't belong in the group. I'm like, okay, all right. I can understand that because they're new, right?
So Rocky should feel that way too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, of course. Rocky would feel that way because the three of them are actual friends from Stone Canyon. They're a trio. They've known each other really well. Well, these other three rangers know each other well. So clearly it's going to be a 3-on-3 thing. And it's nice where they're talking about, oh, let's talk about Rita. Remember Rita? Okay, so hey, at least they got the continuity here, right? Because Rita's not around with these three.
Right.
So that's a thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aisha is saying, look, I just want to prove that we're more than just being good at fighting and keeping secrets. Trini was a brilliant engineer, and Zach was the heart and soul of the group.
Adam's like, I'm wearing one of Zach's outfits right now.
Right? And then she goes on to say, and then she goes on to say, Rocky and Tommy are like best friends.
What are they
really?
Rocky and Tommy are
maybe like, hey, you know, Rocky and Tommy,
they're really bonding
like
real quick
in a way, because Red Ranger and White Ranger leaders of the, you know, no, but they're best friends. Okay.
Rocky, so like, the leader of the Power Rangers team.
So she's like, Adam, don't you feel like we're the odd people out?
That is a faulty premise. So that's a problem right away before we get into this story very deep. Faulty premise.
And the way in which they try to fix, quote unquote, that problem is to roll up in Billy's garage when he's not there and finish his experiments? What? Wait a minute, so you just broke into somebody's house? Like, wait, I'm sorry, hold up. Let's just rewind, right? Let's just rewind.
Didn't even think about that.
So, now, we didn't bring up that it's the minorities that feel left out, right? Even though Rocky is also a minority in the show, right? Because he's supposed to be of the Mexican persuasion.
De Santos. He has his tamales.
Right? So, okay, fine. So, they accepted one. They accepted one was okay to be part of the group, according to Aisha and Adam. So, the other two minorities are not part of the group, right? So, their solution is to
break into
some white man's house.
Right?
It's not even Billy's house. It's Billy's dad's house. Right? So you're just gonna break into and does Billy's dad know y'all? Like, he doesn't really, because you guys are new, right? So he don't even know what y'all look like, so y'all gonna break into this man's house. One black girl. Okay? Right?
People get the cops called on them for less. Come on.
Nowadays people get called on for a lot of stuff, okay? We can't go to the pool and live our life. We can't smoke a little cigarette.
Can't sell lemonade.
We can't sell water.
Water.
We can't barbecue. We can't just ride the train.
No.
There's a lot of stuff that we just can't do. And now you're going to break into this man's house. Okay. And not just break into this man's house and then just tinker. No, y'all doing experiments when there's like things that are blowing up and stuff. Like,
I love that panel of Aisha just nonplussed talking to Adam with a folder in her hand. And there's a giant flaming beaker next to her. Just an exploding beaker. Like, what? What is going on here?
Exactly. You know, all these different type of smoking situations going on. Like... you know, like, what y'all trying to get high to? Like, what is up? What is this Breaking Bad situation up in this piece?
I love that Goldar, when he flies in, he says, the Rangers were not hanging around their beloved Juice Dojo. I'm like, okay, that's good. That's funny. That's good.
Goldar just shows up. Just like, just what?
Just like, I'm here.
Hey, he's using Goldar's his
wings.
Here.
At least he's using his wings. And that just not for props.
I wish they didn't even have the shot of him flying. I just wish they had the surprise Power Ranger.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. And this is more of the weird drawing, too, where there's like a little insert Zed panel when you can tell it's clearly from someone Google image searched Zed summoning a monster.
Yeah,
same pose we've seen him make a million times. He's just driving the car, and then you just got Adam with Morphin. Just looks really weird. Just very odd that he's just doing his little morph pose in the middle.
People are so like, oh, we gotta explain what happened to the Rad Bug. Like, I get it. I'm pretty sure Paper Cuts did like a what happened to the Rad Bug story too. So like, it's okay, yeah, guys.
Wasn't that the one where like
Trini got hit?
Yeah.
By the car. Yeah. Ooh.
Yep. And more. Pictures that were drawn clearly from poses. Zach with the axe. I'm just gonna pose with my axe.
Or the one later where he's like, he has like both fists up in the air for no reason.
Yeah, that was one of those where like you would get like the sticker book and they were always in the same poses. If you get your little peeled little sticker off, that pose is definitely a classic from that. Mm-hmm. And I keep saying Zach because they're Zach poses.
I mean, Aisha does some of them too. Like, yeah. She has that weird, like legs bent, arms up in the air. I'm like, what are you doing?
For a second there, I saw the picture of Adam like shooting the blaster, and I thought the sound effect said Zach. It says Zacked. He got Zacked.
Oh gosh, he sure did get Zacked. Oh Lord.
I look at Goldar. He's like, oh.
I know. It really does say Z-A-K-T. Like, it says Zacked.
Oh, Goldar got Zacked.
That's the worst.
And then, like, look at, oh my gosh, you're right, look at her, she hits him and it almost says Trini. It says no. Tring. It's a string.
Wait, oh my gosh, yes it does! Oh my god, Zacked and Tring.
You got Zacked and Tring.
Tring is not a sound. Like Zacked, I'm like, okay, that's, I could believe it, that's an actual sound effect. But Tring is like, okay, no.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Haven't you ever stabbed something and it made this a Tring noise?
This is on purpose. It has to be.
It has to be, right? And then she does some weird like akimbo pose where she's like got her arms up and her legs out.
She's trying to do yoga. What the crap is this?
What is that?
Oh my gosh.
And also, we learned that the other four Rangers were watching them the whole time. Didn't help.
Nope.
They don't help. Billy is nonplussed about what happened to the Rad Bug. Kimberly has her hands up like she's in love with both of them. Like, oh my gosh, it is so weird, this artwork. The four of them just grinning like idiots watching
Billy looks old, son. Like, he looks old.
I'm pretty sure that Tommy face is redrawn from one of those crappy old MMPR comics. It looks like that old man Tommy face.
Absolutely. This is just bizarre. Like, what? Like, even beyond the story, like, Boom needs to look at this art and say, nope, try again.
That Rocky face, like, what? He's got one tooth, I guess. It's real big.
They all got the one tooth. They all got the one giant tooth. Yeah, they're all rocking the giant tooth. Like,
But like, at least like from afar, like Tommy, you know, Tommy, like, Billy. Oh, okay, I can understand. Like, Bill. Okay, I can understand. Oh, okay.
Rocky looks bad. Like, real bad.
Looks like he literally has one buck tooth.
Rocky be creeping on them both.
Large. I mean, granted, his hair is coiffed, like, out of everybody. Him and, like, the three of them look like that back in the day. Like, you know, I mean,
yes.
Mounds aside. Billy, though.
Billy looks like he's 55.
No, yeah. Grandpa, and he's rocking the suspenders.
Oh, my gosh. And the round glasses. Like, he wasn't really wearing glasses like that
at
this time.
No, that, yeah, overalls, round glass, Coke bottle glass, Billy was gone by then.
Gone. Oh, my gosh.
And people, I know people might be saying that we're like nitpicking, but legit, like, it is not that hard to do your research and to just make something that looks like it belongs in this timeline.
Just like, call us up again or email us nopinkspandex@gmail.com. You get any time that any writer needs a little, you know, like okay, like around this time, like what happened? Free o charge.
No. Just we'll take convention exclusives as payment,
right?
Mm-hmm. Boom. So send us some green psychos, and we can make it happen.
There we go.
I will require 3 gold zeomorphers to write a comic. I promise. You know what? Just give me one, and all I'll do is fix sound effects for you, so we don't have Zacht and Tring.
Okay, that look, I kind of love Zacht and Tring. Like,
no, that's on purpose. That has to be. That's on purpose. Has to be.
Oh my gosh!
If you just told me Zacht, I'm like, oh okay. But Tring, that's on purpose.
Tring is not a thing.
Tring is not a sound effect. It's not a thing. However, it's on purpose. Like, they ain't just put that in.
Like, what would Rocky's be if he was in the fight?
Rocked.
Rocko.
Rocko'd.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
Sheesh, that is bad.
Yeah. I don't even think we even talked about the story itself. They're just trying to prove that they're more than just whatever. And then this whole time, the rest of the team is watching them act up. But like, oh, look, they'll just do fine as Rangers. Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just boy.
Shanking Goldar with your Tring blade and... Ugh. Awful, just awful.
And I'm sorry, but like the power blaster that Adam has in his hand, it looks like it's a water gun. So
he zacked him with some water, yeah. And then immediately put it away.
And the proportions of it make it look super tiny.
Well, just like look at the, like, how do you fight like that? Like, okay, I jumped into battle with my axe. And then I immediately put it away so I could zap you with my gun. And then I put that away and pulled my axe back out so I could hit you again. Like, what is that?
No. He has the axe, then the gun, then he puts everything away, then pulls out the axe again.
Right.
Like, what is this? It is just nonsense.
I enjoyed this talk more than the comic.
Oh, of course.
I appreciate them doing a story in season 2 and using season 2 characters. That's great. I would love to see more of that, whether it's in annuals or in some other version of the comic. Obviously, we're getting a little bit of that with the Shattered Grid universe, or with the Drakkon timeline, I should say. But I don't want to say lazy because I don't think anybody sets out to be lazy to do this sort of thing. But I think it could have used a little more QC. Could use a little more from the editors or people at Saban being like, fix this.
Okay. Yeah. I just realized this. Maybe it's just me, but I just realized that Goldar grew and they used Billy's formula to grow.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to talk about that. I didn't even get that
the first time I read it. Look at it. Like, Goldar, Zed zaps Goldar. He grows. There's one panel with Aisha holding a random little test tube.
How did they drink it?
Yes.
And the next panel, like, there's like white lines that are supposed to symbolize them growing as well.
And the horizon is small. Yeah.
Wow, I did not pick up on that. Okay. I read through this so fast; it was such a nothing comic.
Yeah.
They grew. And we're going to assume Billy has an antidote to ungrow them. Okay, then.
How'd they drink it, though? How'd they drink it?
They just splashed it on themselves, I guess.
No, the MNPR, they did the original movie thing where they just took out their visors and their mouthpieces, drank it.
Oh, there was a creepy panel where the mouths actually opened on the helmets. they cut that out. Wow. Boy, this is not easy flowing comic at all.
Like, the idea of, like, oh, look, the Rangers grow. Like, that's, like, fun, but, like, you have to, like, set that up. You can't just do it.
Well, it's just, like, every single panel is them posed. Like, every one. Like, none of them, they're acting like humans. Once they
move, they're like weird. Their legs are so far apart, and that's fine when you have like a little MMPR figurine from back in the day. It's weird in a comic.
Yeah, again, we're two for two on comics that were clearly drawn and written by people that have no affinity for the series whatsoever.
And that's why they have.
Let's not say no affinity. Like, they just, you know, these details, they just didn't know.
They don't know what they're talking about. Straight up.
It comes off, that's why it comes off like the old comics. It's not that they're necessarily a send up, is that those comics were probably, I would love to hear interviews with people who wrote them, but it seemed like they were done by people who did not know the franchise. Maybe watch an episode. We're given a binder style guide, and that was pretty much it. And they didn't really know the characters or how they looked, or and they had to draw them really quick. So they were like, oh, okay, I'll put them in poses that were in the style guide. Okay, fine.
Yeah, it's tough because, like, yes, you're not. It's not like you're Kyle or Ryan where you're going to be around for years on end to try and so even if you don't know what you're talking about, you're going to do all the research in the world. You're just doing one story, but still, like, there has to be more than this. You know, if you can't find somebody who's in love with the show, I don't know. There
again, that's what the editor should be for.
Yes,
the editor should fix that.
Because as we get into the next story, like, it's not written by somebody who's probably a big fan, but you can tell they at least tried, you know? Like, they didn't hit it out of the park, but at least they put some effort into it. So the
next story.
Mystic Force, let's go!
It's the sweetest of dreams, okay? So Pet Project was written by Jessica Quiñones and illustrated by Joe Quiñones. Relation? Maybe? I don't know. Golden Ideas, written and illustrated by Cena Grace?
John Cena?
Colored by Eleonora Bruni? Well, you know. I do have to say, I like how they want to use authors and writers and illustrators from around the world, right? You know, you got Italy, Brazil, like this. So that's why a lot of these names I don't know how to say, Giles. Okay. All right. So The Sweetest of Dreams, written by Magdalene Visaggio? Illustrated by French Carlo Magno. Yeah. Yeah, that's a tongue twister.
Yeah.
Okay. Mystic Force, let's go.
One thing I will say is, like, even if it's a season that I'm not a fan of, like Mystic Force, I do appreciate it when they try to add to it, try to give you some more depth. Even if it falls a little flat, at least they're getting out of the realm of MMPR. They're trying to explore other things. So, you know, we see Udana. Udana having her dream. She wakes up next to her lava lamp. She's got a lava lamp. And I'll admit, like, Mystic Force, the lore kind of escapes my head at times because
the Mystic Force lore was all over the place, and it really did not make a lot of sense because it was like half translated Maji Ranger, and it didn't really. I mean, like, this whole story in the comic is basically it was not a dream, but it was, but I don't remember it, and yeah, it's supposed to take place just before the series,
right? So, Mystic Mother.
Yeah, that already got it a negative point right there. Mystic Mother was a bad idea then.
Was that a Jackie idea?
I don't know.
Was it? I think she copped to it.
She did.
It was one of those things where it's like she wanted to add more lore to, like, connect everything.
She wanted to pay homage to, what's her name?
Uchiha Soga.
Yeah, who recently passed away. And I get that, but it did not make a lot of sense then, and it doesn't make a lot of sense now. The idea of Rita, who we had seen get turned young and good, all of a sudden is like the all-seeing purveyor of goodness in the world and is now old again. It doesn't really jibe. It's one of those things where it's Power Rangers. We have to just accept it because it's part of canon nowadays. So But yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's basically her trying, you know, trying to, like, she has a vision of her husband, and she's kind of doing tarot cards, even though all the tarot cards conveniently are the Zords of the Five Rangers.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that. Cute.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of like where she is looking for her husband, and she. So does she know at this point in time? Because she doesn't know in the series, right, that they're the same person, or does she? I can't remember. I can't.
No, I don't think she does, because it was like, I think it was like a big reveal. But again, by the end of this, like, they have this whole, it's like it's a cool fight to see the two of them go at each other, but she doesn't remember anything, so it doesn't really matter.
I do like him just standing there and whaps her in the face with the shield. Like, that's amazing. Just smacks her right in the face. And breaks the visor. Ooh. Breaks the visor. But yeah, so it's a fun little thing. It's just a little preamble to Mystic Force, but yeah, there's some effort, like, again, I guess.
Appreciation for doing a season that is nowhere near MMPR.
Yeah.
And by far the best art we've seen so far.
Yes.
Yeah. Very true.
Everybody's like on model, like they don't try to make them look too realistic. See, that's the thing. That was the problem with the last comic. They tried to get them to look like them, but they just ended up being weird. Here they stylize them, and that's what you should do.
Yeah, and when the fight actually happens, like, the movements actually feel human.
Yeah, they're not in poses.
Yeah. They don't pose.
And nobody gets tringed.
Yes, no tringing. No tringing or Zach, just some whoosh.
Waps, wham.
Yeah. More traditional sound effects. Even when the five rangers are shown in her little vision, they all look humanish, so that's nice. But yeah, it's a fine little story, you know. It's a decent story for a less than decent season, but they tried, right? They at least tried to do something different. So it's the best of the three so far by default.
Yeah.
Now, would you say that so far the stories have increasingly gotten a little better?
Yes.
Ooh, I don't know, because that second one was not great.
Well, two was better in the sense that it was such a clown show that it was like
funny to talk about.
Yeah, it was technically worse, but it was more interesting in how ridiculous it was.
Sure. Okay.
You know, at least we had something to say.
So we did.
Yeah.
More so than I thought.
Yeah. So then we get to everybody's favorite season, Ninja Steel.
Which, like, I just got to call out that, like, no matter who got to write this, I don't care if it was our man Ryan, you know, like, when you're handed Ninja Steel, you're already getting dealt a bad hand.
Yeah.
So, like, much respect to anybody somebody says, okay, you got to write Ninja Steel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this one is called Sealed, written by Matt Groom and Michael Busuttil? Well, butchering names already. Illustrated by Lucas Wernick.
Mm-hmm.
And colored by Eleonora Bruni. Same one that did the Golden Ideas. Colored the Minority Report.
Mm-hmm.
But here we go. Ninja Steel. Let's see what happens here with the Ninja Steel.
You know, the immediate vibe I got from it was the sort of vibe I got when I watched the Overdrive anniversary special, in the sense that it's like, we want to pay homage to MMPR, but we're going to do it in the most forced, slapshot way possible. You know, in the sense that, oh, let's have a connection to MMPR. We can't just, like, reference it or do something clever. No, here's Alpha. Here's Alpha. He's just going
to show. Here's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah. We aren't going to make illusions. We aren't going to find clever ways to integrate stuff. Just here's Alpha. So, yeah, apparently Alpha and Mick are friends because we can't come up with anything inventive.
Now, pause for a second.
Yeah.
So I went to listen to the Ranger Danger podcast because the two hosts of that podcast wrote this comic, this particular story, okay? And so on that particular episode where they talk about this anniversary special, they were interviewed by Kyle Higgins, okay? So one of the things that they mentioned was that they pitched a few ideas to Boom, and this was the one that was picked. Now, I don't quite remember if they were told to stick with Ninja Steel and then pitch ideas then. I don't recall, but this is the idea that was chosen. And the other thing was that they of course, you wrote more than what was shown or what was paneled out. So they mentioned that, okay, well, how can we pare down Mick and Alpha knowing each other? Like, how can we pretty much, and I'm paraphrasing now, how can we fit this on one page? You know, because they were just like, if anybody wants to, you know, have us write the backstory of Mick and Alpha, that'll be great. So that's what it sounds like, where the editing comes in as to explaining how they know each other or where they come from. It's just to put it in one panel of them having a heist and they are running and yada yada yada, and that's how they know each other. So,
and like, I totally understand that process, and like, I totally respect it and everything else, but sometimes you also just have to look at the finished product. And like, you can sometimes use the behind the scenes as like, okay, I understand why it is, but it's still, you still have to look at it as it is. And I think the story is trying to do a lot in a very small space.
Right.
And I get that it's just, the goal of this story is just to have the two Rangers meet and just have fun, and that's fine. But the problem is that it actually tries to go out of its way to like have an explanation for things. Like, oh, they get sucked into this time portal and they're all doing the same thing at the same time. And then they meet, but they aren't supposed to meet, and they can't really meet each other. But Jason still sees the Ninja Steel Red anyway. And it's just like, oh my gosh. It's like, it's trying to do a little too much in a very short span of time, which, like, you know,
I didn't first understand in my first reading. I didn't get, like, at first I'm just like, oh wait, they're all fighting this at the same time wherever they are. Like, I didn't get that until I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's drawn in such a way where it's cutting back and forth, kind of, in the sense where it's like,
right.
The top panel with the MMPR team looks very similar in the way it's laid out to the middle panel with the Ninja Steel team doing the same basic thing.
Right.
So you're supposed to be looking at it where it's like, oh, you can see the similarities and the differences and how they're both in the same situation, which is cool and fine. I think I don't dislike the overall idea of having them, of it's like, oh, we fought this big monster, and then 25 years later, you have to fight the same monster because we couldn't finish it off, which is, it's fine. It's a decent idea. But again, like, do you have to have Alpha there? Do you have, because to me, it's like, you're connecting characters from season 1 to season 25, which is kind of a big deal. So to do it in such a short kind of like, slapshot kind of fashion, like, it feels, I don't know what the word is, because it feels like it needs to be a little more grandiose. And that's why, where I get back to the Overdrive idea, where it's just like, oh, Alpha's here, okay, oh yeah, oh, Reed and Zed had a kid, okay, that's cool. Oh, and you can walk into the Morphin Grid, like, all of these things that, for anybody who's been following since day one, like, these are supposed to be like big deals, and they're just not treated in that sort of way, you know. I don't know. It's just.
I get what you're saying. I do. And it always happens with Alpha, yo.
Yeah.
Well, because like, Alpha's the easy one, because you can just put somebody in a suit.
Yeah, it just becomes one of those things where it's like, I like the idea. I honestly like the idea. Like, I'm okay with having Ninja Steel show some respect to MMPR as a comic idea. I'm cool with that. Like, even, you know, say what you will about Ninja Steel, none of us like it, blah blah blah, all that sort of stuff, but like, it's a fine idea, especially for an anniversary special. Like, that's the sort of thing you probably should be doing,
right?
It's just like, how much do you want, how much of this, of the weakness of it, do you want to put on like you know, like, is it just that's the story wasn't that great, and how much do you want to put on the whole, like what you were talking about with that interview? Because at some point it starts to feel like the time and budget excuse, where it's like, I don't know. It was a decent attempt, but it's not one of those things I'm going to blame on, oh, it's Ninja Steel, but like, it just felt very, very rushed.
And then like at the end, like the last page, another thing that, and I forgot which one, so just, I'm sorry, I'm just going to call you the Ranger Danger people. They mentioned that, like, of course, that they, when they wrote their, they said that they wrote their script and it didn't take long for them to write it. And of course, and then they gave it to Kyle to read and look over and give notes. And Kyle gave his notes. And then Kyle said, yeah, we gave it back to you. And then you ignored some of them and then you wrote your stuff and then you, you went about your way. And then so like the back and forth between giving it to Kyle or and giving it to Boom or whatever, like they said that it did not take long for them to write. It took, and granted they said that they had prepped or outlined it for so long before then that the actual writing of the script did not take long. So they ended up being a week earlier than their deadline. So they said that they wrote it in a day. Hmm. So then I go back here to the last.
Well, now, yeah, to be fair, if you have especially if you have a very detailed outline, the actual writing of a script is almost like a formality. Because if you have like a really in-depth outline, and if there are people like me who will write outlines that has a ton of dialogue in it already, then you're basically just putting it in comic strip format. No,
yeah, that's not the point I want to make. I totally agree. I have no problem with that. The last page, though, they mentioned that looking back on it now, that the last page could have been written a little better because it just felt like it was putting it on about like they know that the future Rangers are going to handle it and they have faith in them, and that the bubbles were like so schmaltzy, and now I'm paraphrasing, but they were schmaltzy and they were just like, yes, and I know that they'll be okay and it'll be all right in the end and da 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 da. And I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, well, maybe if you didn't write it maybe if you took longer than the week to like look over.
Yeah.
just a little bit, you know, maybe you wouldn't have, like, you know, you write it, then you sleep on it and then you read it again. You know, just a little bit, because I get what they were saying in the end, right? Like, oh, okay, well, whichever future Rangers that we don't know what you look like, we have faith that you'll be able to solve it and you'll be smarter than us and figure it out. But it didn't need all them words, bro. Like, some of those panels gonna be saved for, you know, something else up in the front. You know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, This story didn't offend me. Like, yeah, sure, the alpha thing, sure. But it didn't offend me.
It was just there. I mean, that's what it was. It wasn't, like, bad or anything. It was clearly just trying to be a fun little story. And I just don't really like Ninja Steel that much, so that just didn't really help anything. But it was fine.
Yeah, maybe if it was a full comic, it would have been better.
Yeah, they had a little time to, like, actually have the team interact or do something fun and clever. And because I mean, you know, when you basically only have like 9-10 pages or whatever, you really can't do that. I mean, I would have looked at something like that and been like, oh, maybe I'll tell a smaller story, you know. Mm-hmm. Like,
mm-hmm.
Like the one we're actually about to get, which is a small story but has big emotions.
Yeah, so and again, now we're going through all the stories and just like, all right, maybe this might be a little step back, you know, maybe. I mean, it's great that they got the Mighty Morphins and the Ninja Steel and told that story, great, but you know, like, great. But then y'all,
yo, a huge step up.
Mm-hmm. But
then y'all, okay, Mr. Trey Moore, I thank you.
He's delivered in the past with the Gold R story.
I thank you, Mr. or Miss, I don't know, Dajong Lee. I thank you.
Is Trey Moore a fan? Like, he's got to be a fan.
Trey, yeah, he's the guy that's his dad's a famous writer.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I would assume so, because he's the one that did that Goldar story in the annual in the past that we really, really enjoyed.
I thought who did the Finster one?
I think that might have been him too.
Yeah, because I think he did one each year, possibly. Mm-hmm. So it might have been he did the Finster one too.
This one is The Trial of Astronema, and it's really good. Like, it's legit great.
Like, y'all don't even, seriously, if the anniversary special was just this,
mm-hmm.
Just over 60 pages or whatever.
Yeah, because it's one of those stories that, like, legitimately as a fan, you're like, okay, this makes sense. This fills in a gap. This is a question, you know, you would have thought in your head, like, because even at the time, we as fans, we were like, boy, it's really a convenient turnaround that she can just be like, okay, I'm good now. I was under a spell, and there's zero ramifications.
Yeah, like, she has, like, one feel-bad moment where Leo also gets his Battleizer, and that's it.
Yeah, and even at the time in Lost Galaxy, we've talked about this before, where it's, like, the flashback story where it's, like, you killed this dude, you know? Like, he gets his Battleizer, but, like, that was an awful, awful thing that she did, and he just, like, oh, I forgive you. Here's your Battleizer, like... That's Astronema did some messed up stuff, and you can only just be like, oh, it was mind control. Like, that doesn't really hold a lot of water, you know. Like, you still did the thing. So.
And they find ways that, like, when they're, you know, because Carone is in front of this big old council with a bunch of different aliens with some equations in the front, which I very much appreciated. Nice detail, and they have all these people accuse her, and they talk about all the things she did. And I mean, they're throwing in some, like, what is it, doggies race? Is that supposed to be doggy, or is that somebody from that race?
I think that's doggy.
It's actual doggy.
Yeah, it's
that's like,
doggy.
And it works, and it doesn't feel like so, like, beat you over the head continuity reference, because I'm like, you know what, actually, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I normally don't go against Rangers, but homegirl, you know, my wife ain't here because of you. We're like, oh, snap!
Right?
And the most important detail of this comic is that Maya, Andros, and Leo show up to defend her. And so that means that, you know, Danny Slave and Ace Attorney gets his time to shine.
Oh, my gosh.
Look, I don't know if it's like, I mean, obviously Leo could have shown up for this, and that's fine. But I'm like, Traymore, do you know what Danny Slavin does for a living now?
Yes, Leo shows up in his Walmart shirt. Looking like only he can.
It's so nice, though, that, like, oh, we had Maya, who, like, had gotten close to Carone, and we had Leo, who had that little bonding moment, and obviously Andros is there. No Zane, which I thought would have been interesting to have. Maybe could have swapped out Leo or Maya with Zane.
Yeah, I mean, the choices...
You have to have the girl.
Yeah.
They made some good, choices.
That's a very nitpick thing. Like,
yeah, and I think the best thing about this comic is that it doesn't just end with you're not guilty. We learned that the Rangers, they said the good things, and everybody loves the Rangers. So,
yay!
So they don't, you're make free it easy to go. No.
No.
And like we said, they call her out on everything. Like, they called her out on the Kendrick stuff, which could have been an easy point in her favor. Of it's like,
yo, that was the best one. You're like,
yes,
one of the best ones. Like Maya's coming in, like, look, she did all this stuff or whatever, but like,
yeah,
didn't she make
the cycles are her fault?
It's her fault, and isn't she the one that eventually had Kendrick be gone and whatever, and that wouldn't have happened if she didn't do the thing? And you're just like, yes, but nothing. I rest my case. Get out of here.
Yeah,
go.
This isn't a world where Rangers are infallible, and because a Ranger said something good, oh, okay, we believe them. The Rangers are paragons of virtue, so as long as the Rangers stand up for you, a-okay, you're out of here, dismissed, that sort of thing. Like, no, like, every piece of logic that they have can be countered. And so they actually put them in a situation where it's like, you're not going to win this. You are not going to get out of this.
And what I love is that they pull like a very Power Rangers thing of like, oh, like they create like a hologram or whatever it is of Astronema. And they're like, oh, see, like that's the real Astronema. And I would have been so mad if that had been the end. And they're like, oh, look, we got your way. Because Andros is like, hey, man, I did a pretty good job. Look at me. I'm great. And then Crone, full face, smacks Andros.
Yes.
Right across the face. And she's like, why'd you do that? And he's like, they were going to kill you. And she's like, shut up. I was awful. You can't, yeah, like,
was,
just...
Like, it was my choice. I know what I did. I was going to take whatever they gave me. Like, you are taking that choice away from me. I am not a little child. Don't tell me what to do. Let me make my own decisions. And what?
And I love that she says, every day on Miranoi, I have to actively tell myself to be kinder, gentler, and more patient than my instincts tell me to be. Because she even says, she's like, I was raised to be an astronomer for 15 years, but she also doesn't use that as an excuse.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, this is, like, legitimately a situation where the Rangers were not going to win. This, they were, you know, you could say they're in the wrong. You could say this was the wrong call. Like, this was not something where just being the Power Rangers was going to win the day, which I feel like is something that happens so, like, nowadays in the show, especially the last, like, 6-7 years, where it's just been, like, being a Ranger is enough. You know, we're like, you're the good guys, we're the bad guys. It's a very black and white situation. This is the furthest thing from that. This is very much, you know, like, just because you're a Ranger does not mean the receipts from your past life don't pile up. And the fact that she owns up to it, because even in like Lost Galaxy, like, yeah, we had, you know, she came in, oh, she used to be astronomer, and then we had the Battleizer episode. But other than that, it's like, you know, oh, Carone's great. Everybody loves Carone. She's the greatest. She's fine. What's astronomer? Anything like that. Like, it was just accepted that now that she's the Pink Ranger, she's good, and that's all that matters. Like, here it's like, no, the past is a real, very real thing. And, you know, we have to deal with it. And it's very layered in their approach to just who she is and how she owns up to it and how the other Rangers dealing with who she is and what she used to be.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just so good. And then, mm-hmm. and then the thing is, it doesn't even end like, all right, and they make up and they're great and they hug each other out and be they being, Andros and Carone. Oh, they are great and they hug each other out and everything's fine and kumbaya. Like, no. Like, it's like, I'm still mad with you. You can go now. And, you know, I'll be fine. Not right now, but I'll be okay. Like, it's just too good.
Yeah, too good. Everybody feels defeated on some level.
Like I would genuinely read a comic miniseries or a ongoing comic of Carone going out to the universe and figuring out a way to either get redemption or to make up for what she did or something. Like, I put that, like, make that the whole next annual. Like, do away with every other story. Just make it like, just give Trey Moore, like, I don't know what he's doing right now. Just tell him right now. He's like, all right, Trey Moore, next year you're writing this. So, you know, get writing it now. You're basically writing like a mini graphic novel. Let's go.
Yeah, and each story, right? Written by Trey Moore, can be her going to different, I guess, I don't want to say teams, but errors or whatever, and
trying to help
with people and trying to right her wrongs or get into misadventures.
I'm gonna say this right now. You could just cancel Soul of the Dragon. I don't need another Tommy story.
Yeah,
I'm being facetious. I'm being facetious. Like, you can have both, but I don't. I would be super interested in. Okay, this is a joke title. Soul of the Carone.
Oh my gosh.
Soul of the Carone.
What? Like, I would totally read an original graphic novel spinning off from this story. 100%.
Yeah, I would be interested as well. I would. It's just night and day with this annual or this special or whatever it's called, that you have this last story compared to all the rest. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like, and usually their annuals are like pretty decent.
Yeah, like there might be like one weak story in the other ones, but it was like, okay, it's like mediocre, whatever. But like, they were all really strong. Like, yeah, of course the Trey Moore stories were like the best. And although I think in the very first annual, like the Goldar one was really good, but there was like another one that was also really good in it too.
But overall, the annuals on a whole, they're pretty decent. Like, they're pretty decent. You're like, great, I'm glad I bought this. Or, great, I'm glad I read this one. for the anniversary special? Like, this one should be like hits, you know what I mean? Like, each one is a hit. Each one is a number one hit.
Yeah.
The anniversary special is the weakest out of all of them?
It feels like this was just thrown together. Like, they had one story, and they're like, that's not enough for a whole comic. Let's grab some folks and have them quickly write some more stories. Toss them in.
Yeah, for like a cash grab, which, like, that's fine. Like, you know, whatever, 25th anniversary. But again, if you're going to call it like the 20, you know, the anniversary special, like, one, maybe don't have two stories set in it, like, in MMPR era. Just an idea.
Yeah, I don't even care if it's a Wild Force story. At least you're doing something different.
Yeah. And again, like, this is the kind of thing where I am far more interested in the emotional questions that we've had about the characters. I liked the idea of, what is it, Adam and Aisha feeling like they're not a part of the team. That's an interesting thing. Although Rocky should have been a part of it. I don't know why. Because, like, that would have been an interesting thing. But, like, the, we got to explain what happened to the Rad Bug. I'm like, no. Like, that's like a side thing that could have maybe been in there. But that sort of became the focus. I'm not interested in those kind of, now the other fans totally are. They're totally into those sort of tiny continuity questions, like what happened to Orc the Conqueror or things like that. And that's fine, but I'm much more interested in the emotional arcs of these characters and the things that you couldn't do on the TV show for various reasons that now you can do in comic book form. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want stories that aren't just like here is the basic information of said season and these characters. Okay, we're gonna do, and that's the thing, they usually like, this is, you know, you like Boom, if you listen, and you know we have been riding for y'all
except for Pink.
Except
for Pink.
Yeah.
Except for Pink.
And
just
Link.
DC. Justin Link doesn't count, really.
Yeah.
But we have been riding for you guys for like the majority of these issues, comics, annuals, whatever. So when we say like this one was like, you guys, I mean, I know you can't have number one hits all the time, but like this one annual, you had one number one hit and like a top five, and then the rest of them were just like, you know,
they're softies.
Interesting how the only good story is the one with no Ranger action.
Well, that's the thing of also when you have like such a short amount of time, just having, we have to have mandatory punches and kicks. I'm almost like the idea that you just have a conversation for 8 or 10 pages is actually better for the comic itself. That actually made the Mystic Force story work a little bit better because it's a much more talky story with like one little action scene, and that's fine. Whereas say the Ninja Steel story is like, let's have a couple pages of action, where it's like, there's not enough time to get invested in it.
Right. Right.
Also, you got this cover that is very gorgeous, but I see MMPR, I see Zio, I see Turbo, I see Space, and you lied to me. There is no Zio. There is no Turbo.
There's no Phantom. Like, what are you like?
Nope.
Also, okay, another thing you can do, because, you know, you don't need to have, like, you don't need to have Trial of Astronema, like, level, like, intensity. I think it was in the very first annual, Don't Get Too Derpy. Like, bring that back.
That was cute. Yes. It was cute. Yeah.
Like, that one's not trying to be, it's, like, trying to be, like, a very stylized, very cutesy kind of story, and that was perfectly delightful.
Yeah, that's the thing, is either have something really interesting to say or be unique. Like, the first two stories especially are neither of those. It is just bland, by the numbers, regular old MMPR, something we've seen a million times in the past. You are giving me nothing new or nothing interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're the 25th anniversary, like, yes. We have two comics that are based off of Mighty Morphin that are kicking butt. Granted. But if this is the 25th anniversary special, that's the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 25th anniversary special, maybe the stronger stories should be Mighty Morphin.
Yeah.
Maybe. A little bit. But like I said, this one should, it's the 25th anniversary one. All of them should have been hits. all of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I was a little disappointed. I was a little bit. So boom, but boom, we like everything else.
Yeah, like everything. Your batting percentage is still quite high.
Yes.
Like, you have produced two mainline comics that are fantastic, and anniversary and annuals that are always pretty fantastic.
Yes.
So just don't do Kimberly miniseries and don't start working with Batman, and you will be fine.
And don't use this anniversary special as a template for what you should do in the future.
Just give us more of the continued adventures of Corona Aurora. Go.
I mean, literally, what's Trey Moore doing right now? What's he doing? Hire him. Like I don't. Like, I mean, maybe he is working on other things, or, you know, I don't know. There could be a number of reasons, right? I'm sure they would love to have him do more. But I see that work, and I'm like, give this guy a book. Like, give him something. Like, this is good.
Give him a Zio comic.
Yo.
Give him that anthology I keep talking about.
I mean, honestly, if you don't want to do a full-on anthology, using Corone as like the vehicle to do anthology type stories would be awesome, because you can go around the different parts of the universe and we can check in on characters through her eyes.
Well, that's the thing I keep saying is, you know, if you say you want to tell this Corone story and then just tell it as long as it takes. It'll take 5 issues, 6 issues, whatever. And then, do you have another story you want to tell? Great. Switch to that season and tell that story. Just go as long as you need and then go to the next thing. And just don't have any sort of like confinements on like what you can tell and what you can't tell. Just be like, just go until you feel like you finished your story and then do another one. And let's see. I'm looking at his Twitter. He's wearing a Tommy shirt. And he says he enjoys tokusatsu, so...
Oh, hey.
Right on.
So I guess he knows what he's talking about.
Right on, right on. All right, so Mass Rider comic by Trey Moore. When? All right, thank you.
Lord.
I mean, there's all kinds of things you could do, like little stories about, like, what is it like for the people from Terra Venture to settle on Miranoi, and what does that do to the native population? Like, we know they just, you know, enslaved them, right? Like, that totally happens.
Totally.
Like, these are like, there's so many fun things that you could do. I mean, enslavement's not fun, you know what I mean? There's all kinds of fun stories you could tell in the PRU in an anthology type series. And I think
sorry to interrupt you. I'm reading his Twitter. Okay.
You're reading the same one I am right now, I bet.
Yeah. So Trey Moore says, thanks to everyone for such kind words about my story last week. A little behind the scenes info. At one point, Zane was in it, but I replaced him with Leo because he had a better testimony. And it's a fun nod to Danny Slavin's work in the
Yes! Oh, yes! My gosh.
Trey Moore.
He also says, yes, I'd love to see a Corone miniseries either by myself or any of the other great writers at Boom.
I love you, Trey.
We love you, man.
Trey. Lisa, we gotta get him on the show.
Come on, Trey Moore.
You're the best, Trey.
You are the best.
Better than the DeFilippos. Way better.
Wait a minute. My next story comes out in November. It's an exclusive. It's exclusive to the Year 2 hardcover. Hope you can check it out.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
All right. Time to run out to get that.
Hey, Boom. We want to talk to Trey Moore, so just send that hardcover so we can talk to him.
Yeah. Like we can't talk to him if we haven't read it yet.
Right. So I think we need that in order to
pretty much
fully understand it.
God, Trey Moore is my new favorite.
One story I would love to write is an explanation for why there's a silver stripe on the Green Ranger helmet.
God, I love you. What's his Twitter? Tell the people what his Twitter is.
It's at Trey Moore 1983.
1983.
Yeah.
It's a good year.
Older year, older than me. Yeah.
Yeah, year older than both of us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good year. It's a good year.
Yeah. Wow. He's my favorite person.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Every Power Rangers story I've written has answered a question I had: why is Brave Goldar so scared of Lord Zedd? Why is a seemingly gentle creature like Finster in Rita's team? Next week, I get to ask: how did Corone never face consequences for her actions as astronomer? So he knows what's up.
He knows what's up. He knows what's up.
I literally just had to tweet at him right now that I'm like, you're my favorite for the Danny Slavin reference.
Oh my gosh. I am loving. Listen. Like, I can't right now. Like,
he's like, there needs to be a ton more stories about her, about Carone. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, y'all. So Trey Moore, anytime you want to come on the show, anytime you want to come on this show, child, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, we are just gonna end this show.
Right.
It's a wonderful way to end this show, actually, because found my new favorite comic writer. Awesome! Yay! You know, because you know he ain't gonna be writing no Zacht, no Trang. Okay.
Oh, Zacht and Trang.
So we know that's not happening. So thank you, Dreamwork. Thank you.
I'm just looking at this bad art. Even like that first page at the adopt a pet thing. Where, like, Rocky's got short sleeves, and then the next panel, he's got cut off Jason sleeves.
Oh, you mean like,
Rocky, yeah.
Wait, at the pet one? The pet one is... Oh, is Rocky look, in that one?
Look, in the background. See in the background? Or is that...
Oh.
No, it's supposed to be... No, it's Rocky, because, look, in one of the panels, it's Aisha and Adam.
Yeah. And look at that one panel. Like Kimberly's doing like a weird sassy pose. She's on her hands on her hips.
They always.
Okay, wow. I genuinely couldn't tell that this was supposed to like. Obviously, it's season two because White Ranger. But from that far away shot, I couldn't tell.
You could.
Then I see.
Yeah, the only real telling is the skin tone on Aisha and Adam.
Because they have no faces. They have literally no faces in that.
Yeah. Other than that,
we're not even gonna give Rocky a head in most of these panels.
No, what if this was that awkward when the three had left, but they hadn't brought in the Stone Canyon trio, so it's like awkward body doubles for like, far away guitars. Shots.
Yeah, just adopt a pet with my guitar.
That comic would have been amazing if they just had Jason with a guitar over his face.
Like, legitimately,
continuity.
The three new Rangers, none of them get, like, faces at all in the entire story. Bad.
So all the minorities got it.
And even Billy and Kim each get one. There's one Billy and Kimberly face in one panel, and other than that, it's just Tommy.
Tommy getting all the focus. That's pretty good for season two.
Yeah.
It's pretty accurate.
Nobody else gets face shots. Nope.
That pose with Kimberly on the last page is like, I'm like, why are you doing that? Right?
Well, and then even at the end, oh, it's little Tommy, and the other one's five of them just sitting there, no faces, just at the picnic table. Yep. That's bad. That is bad.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, that definitely is Adam. Okay, it was legitimate. I had to really look at it.
Oh, Lord. I'm adding this part in the show.
Wow, this is good. Just...
Yeah.